I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Chris King, the athletic director at Robert Morris. And Chris, I know this ruling just sort of came out, so you probably haven't had a great deal of time to consider all that it means. But in the short term, it means that your coaches are probably going to have to make some decisions about players, right?
Yeah, you know, I think this is something we've been aware of for, you know, the last almost 2 weeks. And, you know, the NCAA kind of, or I guess the committee on the NCAA that oversees this has kind of got ahead of themselves a little bit and came out and said that, you know, that they thought granting an extra year of eligibility was the way to go without really looking into, you know, all the different obstacles and finances. And, you know, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot of devils in the detail. And so we've been spending a lot of time on kind of cranking out numbers to see, you know, what's feasible and what's not feasible in regards to, you know, what and how many of the senior for the spring sports that we will be able to bring back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one question is going to be what then happens to the, you know, is this going to have a trickle down where all the other athletes are going to get another year? Because, I mean, there's a number of sophomores and juniors who, you know, this was, next year was supposed to be their year to play, and you know what? They're going to be blocked. I mean, how is that all going to sort itself out?
No, I don't know, to be honest with you yet. I'm waiting, probably like the media, to get a copy of the release and all the different – there's been, you know, conference calls after conference calls after conference calls from conferences and individual athletic directors and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what is the best model and you know, again, what is the devil and all the details that it greatly affects a lot of the underclassmen and particularly the incoming, you know, freshman class or the junior college transfer. So, you know, to answer that question is near impossible until I get a piece of paper from the NCAA that kind of fills us in on what's going to come up out of all this.
Yeah, I mean, and we're talking with Chris King, the athletic director from Robert Morris. Part of the, I guess, the decision was that winter sports athletes wouldn't get the same waiver, and I tend to think that's the right thing to do, just because most of them got to play, you know, their entire season. I mean, even, you know, your guys at Robert Morris, if you think about it, yeah, it's tough they didn't get to go to the NCAA tournament. But those guys still played, what, 33, 34 games. So it seems to me like that was the logical thing to do. I don't know. What did you think about that?
Well, I mean, you know, you always want to do what's fair. You always want to do what's right. And you know, you're right. I mean, they did get to complete an entire season of their eligibility. They just did not get that championship experience. And there's only 68 teams that get that opportunity when the rest of, you know, Division I athletes for the men's basketball, women's basketball don't get that opportunity. So, you know, I hate it. It's pretty devastating for our senior student athletes on both men's and women's basketball, and you feel for them. But again, I mean, they completed almost 100% of their senior years, and you do have an incoming freshman class and transfers and, you know, puts coaches in a real dilemma, particularly on the women's side, as you well know, with 15 scholarships. And if you have a graduating class of five, you could have 20 scholarships on the women's side based off of the way it appears that this the new rule has come in for this waiver for spring sports, which could have been winter sports.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely that there's a lot of different things that when you add it all together. Now, Chris, I mean, we read last week that there was a number of that there was a pretty big chunk of change that was going to not be distributed from the NCAA to all the school, you know, to the schools via the conferences and things. Is it fair to say there will be a little bit of a financial crunch on athletic departments, and that a lot of guys like you are going to have to make some tough decisions over the next 2 or 3 months to overcome it?
Yeah, you know, I think it varies from school to school. You know, it depends. You know, some private schools, you know, that have higher tuitions, you know, have a little bit of an advantage, you know, as you go down the road. You know, for us, you know, we've been, as a first-year athletic director, I'm fortunate because I've been, you know, cutting costs and looking at how we're going to do different things. And so we're putting a little bit of a money back for next year. And so, unfortunately, I won't have that money now because I've got to cover that reduction in the NCAA revenue distribution. So for us, you know, I mean, we should be okay, you know, as long as we get back to some normalcy by the end of the summer before we get into the academic term. But, you know, there's others who, you know, they rely a lot on that money. That's it's a big chunk of change, particularly those Power Five schools. And really it's more the group of five schools that could really directly get affected. And, you know, then you get into the fall and, you know, God forbid we don't play football. That's going to be absolutely devastating for those Power Five football programs. And so there is a lot of unknowns. You know, I think one of the things that most people may not think about is it's just the institutions themselves and how do they survive, you know, with all these student refunds that went with room and board and student fees and parking fees and, you know, outside of, you know, getting this, you know, the federal stimulus bill that may help bail out some of the colleges on some of these expenses. Those are a lot of times expenses that might be utilized towards the athletic programs that may not be available. So that's where you're going to see probably a lot of the athletic programs really hurt when you're looking at the institution hurting themselves. And if enrollment goes down, that means there's less discretionary income to be able to forward to the athletic programs. So there's just a lot of unknowns right now that we're working directly with our institutions and our conference offices to try to figure all of it out.
Yeah, I mean it's just really you know devastating and to a lot of walks of life. And when you look at colleges, you guys got hit, you know, and we'll probably be dealing with this kind of stuff. Now, Chris, you look back now since you've arrived. Despite the fact that obviously the last, you know, 3-4 weeks or whatever it's been has been rough, in general, do you feel like you've sort of accomplished what you've wanted to accomplish?
Well, I think it's been a fantastic year for RMU athletics and RMU overall. You know, anytime that you get both of your basketball programs into the NCAA tournament, albeit it, you know, it was canceled, you know, the visibility you get, the marketing aspect from that, the momentum that you have building into that next academic year, you know, it's just incredible. And football, as we've talked about on previous shows, came in second, the, you know, greatest turnaround in the history of RMU football. And volleyball won the regular season, women's hockey won the regular season. I mean, it's just been a lot of great things that have occurred. And, you know, I think we just really starting to turn the corner and starting to plan for 2020-21, and got a lot of people really excited internally and within our community and our alumni and donor base. And then wham, this kind of just kind of comes and, you know, it kind of knocks the wind out of your sails. But, you know, again, I think we've got a strong structure and processes and a good culture internally. And so I think we're, you know, ready to take on, you know, the next academic year. And I'm a pretty positive guy. And, you know, I really, really think that, you know, I got a strong power belief in the power of people. And I think things will get figured out here hopefully soon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have now looking ahead, and most athletic directors that I've talked to sort of have visions for what the next year or two is going to be like. And I know right now everything in this world is really kind of on hold. But are there some things that you know, would like to get accomplished here in the next year or two?
Well, I'd like to fast forward to March Madness next year and be playing with men's and women's basketball and to do the do-over. But no, we've got a lot of new initiatives we're going to be unveiling, a lot more probably on the fan experience and marketing side. I know there's a lot of things you and I have talked offline about. And so, you know, those are things that I think we're getting up and trying to professionalize how we approach things. We want to be able to do a much better job of how we tell our story, and we have a great story in RMU athletics with our student athletes in particular. And so, you know, we've got a lot of hopefully projects in line. We'll see how that pans out here in the next few months in regards to, you know, the financing of some of those projects. And you know, we've got to be very sensitive to the current crisis, and got to be sensitive to those that support our program. But we're really excited about the future, and you know, again, glass half full kind of guy. We've got to think that everything's going to work its way out, and we'll get back to normal here real soon.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a good point. I mean, is this going to be a year that you think it might be a little bit tougher just with donors and things just because of, you know, the financial fallout from all this? And how do you navigate around that?
Well, I mean, I think about, we win the NEC basketball tournament, right? And so we're ready to unveil our renewal of season tickets on March 15th, you know, right after the announcement of where we're going to play in the first round is. And, you know, you have all the excitement, you got national visibility, you got, you know, the marketing aspect of it. And I mean, I'm sure donations are going to be much, much stronger over the last 2 weeks than where they're at right now. And you really, you want to capitalize on all that. But what you have to do is, you know, based off the current situation, again, you got to be sensitive. You got to be sensitive to what's going on in the world, and sensitive to the institution and the institution's needs as well. But, you know, again, we'll tighten our belts a little bit. We'll look at certain cost-cutting measures throughout our department. But I do think that there is an excitement level with our alumni and donor base. So I do think the season ticket renewals and sales at some point, once we decide to get those out into the community, are going to probably set a record this year. And hopefully, you know, fundraising and corporate sales, you know, continue to elevate. You know, we had a record year this year and got a really great team with our institutional development and our corporate sales. So we're just going to try to capitalize on all that and feel really good about it. It just, again, we just got to get back to a little new state of normalcy here soon, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of that, then we're going to let you go. I mean, are you finding it easy or hard to get things done from your home office? You know, because I know you've got, you know, family and kids and all the other stuff. Has it been a little different for you to try and get work done, you know, from home?
Well, you know, a couple thoughts in the middle of all this. You know, I've learned to over-communicate right now. I've had to become very compassionate and caring, and you know, you have to have a lot of empathy, you know, for those others that you're working with and for. And because, you know, again, like you said, they have families and they may not deal with the crisis and have stress. And, you know, we're dealing with student athletes who, you know, for the first time, you know, don't really have a structured environment as they're doing their academics. And so, you know, if you're a leader right now, it's really time to show it, step in and step up. And so that's what I've been trying to do as much as possible and communicating with everybody. And I'll tell you this, though, Paul. When this is all said and done, I don't want to do another conference call, another video call. I like connection. I like being in front of people one-on-one, 10-on-1. The next time I have to do a speech or mass gathering of people that I speak at, I will smile because I will be happy to do that rather than doing it on a video call. I have grave headaches at the end of the day on as many conference calls as I'm on every day.
Well, yeah, I think you and everybody else are going to really appreciate being face-to-face and working like that again once we're all allowed to do it. Chris, I know you're a busy guy and you got a lot to deal with, and now you got even more to deal with, but I appreciate you taking the time and joining us tonight.
All right, Paul, I appreciate the opportunity to talk and brag about RMU Athletics and RMU.
All right. Well, you got a lot to brag about. That's Chris King, the athletic director from Robert Morris. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.